Is it possible to apply the system of practice to a context wider than the individual? Could you apply some of the principles to our movement? Well, of course, you can. You remember in the survey, Bante applies the five spiritual faculties to the whole of Buddhist history. He looks at the way in which different Buddhist schools have played out or emphasized one or other aspect, one or other faculty. So perhaps you can see the same thing at work in our movement. Tendencies to emphasize one or other of these, but also the need for our movement as a whole to embody all five. If the movement is healthy, all five will be in play, both in the microcosm, that is your own center, your own situation, your own class, and in the macrocosm, the movement, the order, as a whole. And what you'll find does tend to happen is something that really quite interests me, is that individuals will find one or other of these more or less appealing and will tend to emphasize one or other of them, whether for healthy reasons or unhealthy ones. And you'll tend to get situations which sort of become a little unbalanced in one or other of these directions. And here the teaching of the five spiritual faculties is very useful. It doesn't completely map onto these five faculties, but or five aspects. But you could think of it in these terms. You need to keep all in play. Even when you yourself do develop more fully, and these faculties will then be experienced on a much higher level. But they'll all be there. These aspects will all be present. If you really are beginning to die spiritually, well, there will be integration taking place as that insight is absorbed into your life, and so on. So yes, I think we could very usefully think of, is this situation, does it adequately represent all these factors? But in fact, after my conversations with Bante, where we drew out these five aspects from the system of meditation, which looks at them vertically, we looked at them horizontally, we recommended them to the International Council of the Tri Ratna community, which brings together the major strands within our movement, and all over the movement, but also from the order strand, the college strand, and the movement strand, the centres. And we suggested to that International Council that we carry out a sort of movement-wide exercise to look at how these five aspects are being taught and practiced at every level, so that we can see that they are present at every level in an appropriate way, and that there's a clear way of taking them on further. I think it's going to take us quite a long time to really roll that out more fully. But yes, the questioners hit upon something that I certainly thought was very important. And yeah, if you're giving if you're in the position of leading a class or supporting a class, well, in a way, you need to be aware that people need all five to some degree, but they need it in a digestible form. You know, if you give people a six-element practice in their first class, they may have a very good experience, because my very first retreat we did the six-element practice, but don't tell anybody. It was Bante, but don't tell anybody. You need to find a way of giving people a glimpse of that real spiritual death, not the trivial version of it, but that sort of moment of recognition of how things really are that they can face. And I've suggested that people should use those five reflections for everybody that the Buddha recommended: a reflection on old age, sickness, death as inevitable, on the inevitability of being parted from whatever is dear and loved by you, and the power of karma, the fact that karma is that we are the owners of our karma, and that we're the outcome of our karma. So I think that we need to find the appropriate way of reflecting on the impermanent, insubstantial character, constructed nature of selfhood at an appropriate level that isn't going to scare the pants off people prematurely and isn't going to lead to mental problems. You have to remember that for some people, they're just not able to face up to it. You know, I've had situations where I've started talking about death in a sort of rather bold effort to tackle these issues, and just had people people in floods and floods of tears because they're facing a recent bereavement and haven't got the tools to deal with it. And I'm not able to follow up with them. So you need to be cautious, but still giving people a little taste so that they can feel the bite of the Dhamma. Not in a trivial sense, but of a real sense of the fact that this life actually isn't what it seems to be.